Thankful tonight that the Lord saves sinners.
Amen.
He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful tonight for His salvation. The Lord saved my soul as a 9-year-old boy at an old-fashioned altar, bowed down, pouring my heart out into Him. I was sitting next to my granddad on the front seat. He used to lead singing. And Brother Pete Porter was helping in revival. And he preached that night, and he preached on hell. And I'd already been lost for a while, but that sermon that night, conviction set in on my heart. I got in trouble like I'd never been in trouble before. And I made my way, couldn't hardly wait for the altar call, and I made my way to the altar, and it wasn't long. The Lord spoke sweet peace to my soul. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have that assurance. It's been a joy. I've enjoyed the day the Lord blessed me, and I just thought about how blessed I was. And you know, we were there at the minister school, and it was such a blessing. And we went in there to eat, and I was at the end of the line. Somehow, I always manage to pick the slowest line. Seems like to the dinner, to get lunch. And so I just went ahead, and I said, you know, I'm not going to stand in line. I just went in and listened to the preacher's wives sing. And sitting there, and I was listening to them, and I looked around, and then I seen my two sons there with me and my wife there. And I thought how blessed I am. You know, my daughter, she's sitting here with us tonight, and the Lord's blessed us in a great way. And I'm so thankful for that. Thankful to see each one that's come this way tonight, and it's just a blessing to be here. My soul has been uplifted today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm sad. I'm gonna miss Brother Junior's smile, and I'm gonna miss him. You know, coming up, shaking my hand, and you know, he was friends with everyone. You know, if he was gonna make you feel like you're important. You know, he was like that to everybody. He always had a smile on his face. And we're going to miss that, but I tell you what, I don't feel sorry for him tonight, because boy, I tell you, he is enjoying.
Amen.
He is enjoying that land of Beulah tonight, I believe. And but it's good to be here tonight, and I need your prayers. And I thought, as I thought this week, you know, I didn't know what I was going to preach on, and meditated, thought about that, and this kept coming back to me. And y'all, I need your prayers. I want to look into Hebrews, the first chapter, the epistle of to the Hebrews there of Paul, and I want to read some scriptures from there, if you'll bear with me for just a few moments of time. And we see in the first chapter, the first verse of Hebrews, it says, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's reading the first chapter of the epistle of John to the Hebrews. And we look at this and I think about as we look at the scriptures, how that Jesus is lifted up. He's exalted above all others. It speaks of how that he was exalted above the angels, and how that he was, and we know that the scriptures teach us also later in Hebrews that he was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But notice here, but we know that Paul writes and he said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we see here that Paul is saying and says in the past that God has spoken unto his people by the prophets. And we know that in the Old Testament that there was a period when the judges were over Israel, that God used those. We see Samson and others that were judges over Israel. And then we see the time of the prophets that God directed his people and spoke to them through those men of God, through those that he had selected, through those. And so we see this, and it says that God in many manners and many ways spake in past unto the fathers by the prophets. Paul said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. So during this time, this is the time of the Apostle Paul, and this was following the crucifixion of Christ. And we see here that he compared this and said, in these latter days that he has spoken unto us through his precious Son. I want to talk a little bit tonight about how God speaks to his people. Well, I'm glad that he speaks to us. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit of God to direct our paths and to give us an unction and let us know. You know, we see over there that the disciples, they grew very very sad, and they were worried, and you know, Jesus had told them, said, I'm going to have to go. He told them in the manner that he would be leaving, that he would have to go, but he said it's needful, or it's expedient that I go, my friend, that when I go, I said, God will give you his Spirit. He said, yes, the Spirit will come and direct you into all truths. You know, I'm glad God didn't leave his people in the dark. Amen. He didn't leave us in the dark. He gave us his Spirit, the Word of God also. You know, the Bible says, and I want to talk about the different ways that God speaks to us today. You know, he spoke, as I said before, and you know, as I studied this, we know that there's many recordings in the Scripture about where God spoke to man. You know, I believe that God was speaking to us. There's things that happens in our life that God, you know, he tends to wake us up, tends to give us a message, so to speak. Some people think back in 2001, when those planes hit those Twin Towers and the things happened, that maybe he was trying to wake us up as a nation. He allowed those things to happen. You know, and you know, for a while it did work, didn't it? You know, people, you began to hear people talk about God and things of that nature, but how soon we forget. How soon this nation forgot. How soon God's people forgot even. And so we look and we know that God sometimes uses things, but He wants to get our attention. He wants to get my friend, our ear inclined into Him. We look over in Leviticus, the 8th chapter. We see over there where Moses, Aaron and his sons were dedicated to the priesthood. You know, Aaron was the first high priest. His sons also served as priests. They were dedicated there to the priesthood. There was a ceremonial thing that took place. And brother, let me tell you something. I believe that everything that they done in the Old Testament, those ceremonial things that they done, those things, they were a picture of something. Amen. Something we need to pay attention to. Something that we need to listen to. Something that we should get a message from. We see over here that they took the ram of consecration and they slew it. And they took of the blood of the ram and they were taken and they put it upon the tips of the right ear and upon the thumbs of the right hand, upon the great toe of the right foot. And of course, we think about that and you know, in so doing they were symbolically setting themselves aside or sanctifying of themselves there in the eyes of Israel, in the eyes of God, for the Lord's work. And so, you know, when they took that blood and put it upon the thumb of the right hand, they were showing that they were dedicating their hands to the work of God, to serving God. And we go on, and it been, you know, and there was a reason. It was the thumb of the right hand. See, you know, most of the time, you know, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, the Scriptures teach us. You know, the best that heaven had to offer. The Son of the Lamb of God. But listen, it was showing that not only were they dedicating their hands to serving the Lord, but they were dedicating themselves and sanctifying themselves to give their utmost effort and give their all unto serving God. And then we take and we look at the blood upon the right toe and upon the great toe, and that was symbolizing also being on the right foot, that they were to give their utmost in following God, wherever God would have for them to go. But listen, what I want to think about, you know, they also placed that blood upon the temple or the top of the right ear. Meaning they were to dedicate their hearing, not necessarily their audible physical hearing, but their spiritual hearing.
Amen.
To listening to God. I tell you, God has a lot to say. We look and we have 66 books of the Scriptures. I've heard brothers say, you know, and I struggled at times. I've got up there and it wasn't God that was at fault, but it was me that was at fault. And I've got up and, you know, and didn't have an inkling about what I was going to try to proclaim until I laid the book down on the book board and the Spirit of God took over. And brother, let me tell you, there's nothing like it. But I heard a brother tell me, he said, you got 66 books and you don't have anything to preach on? Well, there's a whole Bible full of it. You know, and there is. God's Word is jam-packed, full of pearls, full of nuggets, full of a treasure that is precious, brother. God's message, God's instruction book. Well, listen. Needs the Spirit.
Amen.
To accompany it.
Amen.
That's reason He says, I leave my Spirit to guide you into all truths. You know, and let me tell you, when God speaks to us, now listen, He spoke, we see, I believe He spoke about 9 times, if I remember, He spoke to Abraham 8 times over a 175-year period. He spoke to Noah 5 times. times, audibly, over 900 years. We know that He spoke to Moses there in the burning bush. And I think about that. And I think about Moses' son there. And he said, Lord, said, who should I tell? And said, what? Said, you're sending me to your people. And said, what am I supposed to tell them? How are they going to believe me? He said, who do I tell them sent me? And he said, you tell them that I am sent me. Oh, what a wonderful message in that. What a wonderful joy. And I'm thankful today, brother. I know I am. I know Him personally. I'm thankful today, brother. You know, He spoke to these men. And we see the Scriptures. There is a recording of God's Word as God spoke to them. It was inspired. Oh, what a blessing and glory to have. And brother, it's a shame that we let dust gather on our Bible so many times. But listen, how we think about that and God speaking into us. He spoke, as I said, to the prophets and to the judges. And He spoke, Jesus spoke. And that's what Paul was saying, said in these last days, said the Father has spoken to us through His Son. He's talking about Jesus' personal ministry.
Amen.
But Jesus, He was crucified for our sins. Okay. Bled and died there. Oh, He's well and alive today, but He's sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Making intercession for us. But brother, God still speaks to us through His precious Spirit today. He's still speaking unto us to direct us. But you know what the problem is? And I was listening to the teachers today, and brother, they hit the nail on the head. My friend, I've quoted this and read and study and some things scare me a little bit today. I see some of our young preachers and they're quoting different ministers and different things and I tell you, we need to be careful about what we study and who we study after and what we recommend.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. I see them sometimes recommending things to do others from modern preachers that don't teach in a heartfelt salvation. And my friend, and I cringe and pray that these younger people don't study after that thing and pick up some of the hypocrisy and the false teachings that are being taught in the world today. Us preachers, I still think of myself as a young preacher. When I think of myself, I still think of myself as that 20-year-old boy that still had plenty of hair that was, was about 100 pounds less. I still think of myself that way. And then I go look in the mirror and I find out it's a whole different story. I'm not that person anymore. But listen, we need to remember and we need to think about before that we start recommending and before we start doing things like that, is we need to think about a sound. How sound is it? How important is it?
Amen.
It's important to teach. We've got good sound preachers.
Amen.
We've got some sound people that's able to write. Whether it be a Bible study or whether it be a book or whatever, I've read some sound books that was written by preacher brethren. Listen, my friend, but let me tell you, we need to be careful about what we're allowing our young people, my friend, and what we're allowing to be taught in God's house.
Amen.
It's got to be the truth.
Amen.
But God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit. And, I was reading and I've got commentaries. And, I tell you what. And sometimes they help me. Sometimes I'll get an idea or I'll get a better understanding of something. But brother, they shouldn't replace the study of God's Word. They shouldn't replace a prayerful study and listening to the Spirit of God reveal those things that are contained in the Scriptures. We should fails. There's no substitute. I've used this before, you know. Just like Coca-Cola, they came out many years ago. I guess these younger ones probably don't remember it. They come out with the new Coke and it sort of belly flopped. And then they decided to come back with the real thing. They say the real thing, the real Coca-Cola. They went back to the old recipe. See, because the new thing wasn't as good. I tell you what, brother, there's nothing better than God's recipe for the truth. There's nothing better than the old time spiritual meeting and heartfelt salvation.
Amen.
Nothing better. I tell you what, I'm so thankful today. You see, I didn't go up and shake a preacher's hand and him tell me that I was saved. And I didn't go up and repeat a prayer and them tell me I was all right. I didn't go up and say I accept Christ and they take me to a pool of water and baptize me. Brother, I went to the fountain of living water and I called upon God and sought after Him and seeked Him. And brother, prayed unto Him until He spoke peace to my heart.
Amen.
There's no substitute.
Amen.
I tell you, there's no substitute for truly knowing Jesus.
Amen.
There's no substitute for listening to His voice.
Amen.
There's no substitute for the Spirit of God. You know, we don't need, my friend, any artificial spirit. Brother, what we need is God's Spirit in our services. We need the power of God. And you know, the whole thing, we get back and we wonder, we look and we see, and I'm not just talking about Mount Calvary, I'm talking about our churches all over the land and country. We see numbers getting smaller in places. We meet at church and, you know, and I look back and, you know, when I was a kid, I've got precious memories. I've got precious memories. I grew up in church with both my grandparents, but you know, heard my grandmothers, both my granddads testify, both my grandmothers shout, both at church and at home. In the truck going down the road. I've heard, but the norm for that time when I was just a little boy, I remember going to church and there wasn't too many services that there wasn't testifying. There wasn't too many services that went by. In fact, just hardly ever a service went by that there wasn't shouting and rejoicing and praising God. You know, my friend honored and glorified Him for what He'd done for the souls of those that testified. Giving God honor and glory, uplifting Jesus before a lost and dying world. And we look at these younger ones, and I'm afraid my children and my grandchildren and those that come after, brother, it's reversed. Instead of the norm being a shouting service, people rejoicing, and the Spirit of God meeting with people, brother, the normal is that instead of it being a majority of the time, it's just every now and then. Instead of having shouting services all but maybe once a month, now we're lucky if we are in a shouting service once a month. Now, you know, and you know, shouting ain't necessarily, that ain't all in worshiping God. But brother, I tell you what, I believe that if we were where we need to be, if we were serious about serving the Lord and serious about worshiping Him and serious about our desire to see people saved and see God glorified, then we would be down to business with the Lord.
Amen.
And we would see a whole lot more shouting services.
Amen.
We'd see more rejoicing. You know, we would see more born into the family of God. You know, and that's really what we want to see.
Amen.
You know, but listen, I want you to know that it's not God that has fallen short. He's not the one that is swayed back or went back on his job. be a very well-received message tonight by a lot of people. But brother, let me tell you something. If we want to see Jesus glorified and honored, His name lifted up, if we want to see our children and our grandchildren saved. You know, I was reading after Charles Spurgeon, and he was talking about preachers. And he said, you know, he said a preacher, the power of his sermons is related to the power of his prayer life. Said if he isn't a praying man, if he doesn't have a good prayer life, then his sermons are not going to have any power, my friend. And let me tell you that. And I agree with him. I believe that. Brother, let me tell you something. You can't get up and preach the Word of God unless you've prayed up. Unless you've talked to the Father, my friend. Unless you've trimmed up the lamps. But I'll go on and say this also. I can say the same thing about our churches. I can say the same thing about us individually. Not just preachers, but let me tell you, the power in our church services is, my friend, directly related to how close and how good our relationship and how good our prayer line is with God.
Amen.
You know, so many today, and I know how it is. You know, since I've been up in Ohio, and I see people, and brother, you think Nashville is bad. I see, you know, life there is fast paced. You know, people don't have any kind of patience. You know, you sit there for a second and you think about if you're going to turn off or if you're going to take this split in the interstate or not. You think about it a little bit too long, somebody's going to blow at you. You know, they might be not so nice to you or yell at you or something like that. But they're so fast paced. Got so much going on, the hustle and bustle of life. You know, I remember one of my favorite shows has always been the Andy Griffith Show. You know, and one time they was talking about, you know, how they just needed, and you know, they were talking about them needing to slow down, you know, and sort of relax and not be in such a high gear all the time. And we look today, and let me tell you something, we're a lot more fast-paced today than they were. And I know that was just a TV show, but, you know, there's some good things you could get out of some of those old shows. And I enjoyed watching them, but listen, today, my friend, we get so tied up, and I've told the church there, you know, we get so busy with the hustle and bustle of life, and we get so busy with worrying about getting to work on time, and we get up just in time, oh, we're going to get ready, brush our teeth, take a shower, throw our clothes on, and get to work, and brother, I made it on time, got 2 minutes to spare, work all day. Go home, and you know, we got things planned. And you know, there's nothing wrong with the kids being involved in things, but you know, you go to soccer, you go to, I know how that is, go to T-ball, or you've got something else going on the go all the time. But they left out the most important thing. It's time for God.
Yeah.
Time for God. And we wonder why today. Time aside for God. We said, well, we go to church on Sunday mornings. You know, we're there. We're doing our job. And that's what some people think. They think if they filled the seat on Sunday morning that they've done their duty. That's not what God wants.
Amen.
That's not what He wants. You know, He wants to be number one. He wants to be the first priority in our lives. He wants us. Children there, my daughter, and you know, I enjoy spending time with them. You know, I was thinking today, I was hoping that, they'd come and sit with me today and spend some time with me. But, I enjoy those things. I like spending time with my children. I like spending that quality time. You know, God likes spending quality time with His children.
Amen.
He likes for us to go to Him in prayer.
Amen.
He likes for us to, and let me tell you something. You say, well, I'm so busy all the time, I just barely make it to work. Brother, let me tell you something. You need to get up a little earlier and pray and talk to God in the morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting me live another day, for saving my soul, for saving my children, for giving me Your Spirit that guides and directs me. We sit down, and sometimes, I'm hungry. You can look at me and tell I like to eat. And I sit down and I'm hungry and I start to dig in. I seen a little thing on Facebook this week. And there's a little squirrel with his cheeks all filled up with nuts. And it says, and he's just standing there and he said, this is what happens when you forget to pray when before you eat. We don't think to thank God for what He's given us, for His blessings. If you get up in the morning, let me tell you, you should thank God that the Lord gave you the strength and the health and the blood pumping within your body. And my friend, to get up and to live one more day for Him.
Amen.
We sit down to eat. A lot of people think, I've worked hard to get those things. Worked hard to put food on the table. Let me tell you something. Who gave you the health to be able to work? Some of us, after you lose it, after you get hard work, you just can't do what you could. Your back, your knees start aching, and your shoulders and your elbows and your old body starts wearing out. And you take those things for granted. But brother, if you have health and you have life and you have breath in your body, brother, it comes from God. It comes from God. He's the one that gave it to you. He's the reason that you can do those things. My friend, and we ought to thank Him. We need to, and let me tell you, prayer, a lot of people think it's always a one-way street. It's a one-way connection. It all goes up. But I tell you what, as I said before, we need to open our ears, not our physical ears. I hear a lot of things. My physical ears aren't as good as they used to be. But we are to open our spiritual ears.
Yeah.
Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to that still, small voice that speaks to us, that guides us and directs us. I'm so glad, so thankful today for His Spirit.
Amen.
I'm thankful today that His Spirit goes out in His Word. We see that He speaks to us through His Word today. He speaks to us through His preached Word, the Word of God accompanied by the Spirit of God. When a man of God stands in the pulpit and proclaims the truth of God's Word in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That He proclaims it. He speaks to us. The Bible says on one place, He speaks to us through His creation. It says the heavens declare His handiwork. Some people look at it and they don't see that God created things. I tell you what, I don't see how you can look at it and not see that God created it.
Amen.
We see those things in the world today. Man, Satan through man has tried his best to discredit the Lord, try to discredit Him from creating this world and all that He made, tried to discredit Him in all things. We even see that Satan even tried Christ. even tried to tempt him. Oh, we see over there. You know, and let me tell you something. If he tempted Jesus, you know, and if Paul said, be wary, he said, I am watchful, I'm looking, because lest I also become a castaway.
Yeah.
And brother, we need to be watchful.
Amen.
We need to be walking close to the Lord. We need to be listening to His voice. I'm so glad. I tell you what, without Him guiding me, I'd be lost like a ship without a sail. Y'all know that song, don't you? I would be just as lost as could be, my friend, in this world without Him to direct my paths. You know, hardest thing I ever done was move up north to Ohio. But you know, I tell you what, I couldn't have done it if I didn't feel the hand of God upon me to do that. There's no way I could have done it. He blessed me. He's blessed me for it. And I see all my children in the church serving God. You know, I've seen people saved, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. He blesses us when we listen and when we follow Him and when we work for Him. But you know, so many of us are busy with life. We're busy with hustle and bustle. We're busy with what we can do for us, pleasures of the world, what things are that we're going to enjoy. And I tell you what, I've tried it. I've been, in my 48 years, there's been times that I worked 60, 70 hours a week trying to, my friend, get the things that my family needed, and I thought, and obtain things of the world. But let me tell you something, my brother, there's nothing better than enjoying the Spirit and the blessings of God.
Amen.
Nothing compares to it. God speaks to us.
Amen.
Through His Word. It says over and there in another place, He speaks to us through His church. There might be someone here that's lost tonight. Let me tell you, God may be speaking to you tonight. He may be drawing you to an altar of repentance by His Spirit. He might be dealing with you, convicting your heart. You know, I think about over there in Genesis. We see here, you know, God, His first words that are recorded in the book of Genesis is, let there be light. And He goes on, and then we see later on that it's recorded about how that He instructed Adam about the tree of life, and that it was in the midst of the garden, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, told him that, you know, that don't touch it, don't partake of it, you don't eat of it, don't touch it, lest you die. And then I think of that song, says, I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling. We think over there, and Jesus came back, and Adam and Eve, the serpent or Satan, had given the fruit of the tree of knowledge to Adam and Eve, and she took and she ate, and she gave it to Adam, and he did eat. You know, and let me tell you, Satan makes sin look good. He makes it look good. It's appealing to the eye. It's appealing to our physical senses. It's appealing to us. He makes it look good. But listen, it brought death. Just like God had told Adam it would. First of all, it began the process of death in man. I believe physically, at the point that they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I believe that their physical bodies began the process of dying because of sin. But immediately, it brought death of the soul. It brought a spiritual death. Immediately when they partook of that. And then the Lord God came walking in the cool of the day. And He said, Adam, where art thou? I tell you what, one night in 1977, when I was a 7-year-old or 9-year-old boy, and Brother Pete Porter preached that sermon, God came knocking, and He said, where art thou? He said, "Where art thou?" That message of the gospel that he spoke through Brother Porter and through the Spirit. Let me tell you, convicted my heart. God speaks to us. He speaks to us. He knows how to get our attention.
Amen.
You know, he's like old Absalom over there. You know, Absalom, he had risen up against David and he was shunned for a period of time and he was permitted to come back to Jerusalem or come back to the area, and he had to live like 2 or 3 years before he got to see David, and he kept messaging Joab and he asked you, you know, trying to get to be able to see his father. And Joab kept ignoring Absalom's messages. And so Absalom finally, he had his servants go out and set Joab's field on fire. He got his attention. Let me tell you, God knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get us that are children of God. He knows how to get our attention. The lost, he knows how to get their attention.
Amen.
You know. And brother, let me tell you, we need to give God our full attention. If you're lost tonight, you need to be seeking Him to save your soul. And if you're saved tonight, you need to put God first in all things.
Amen.
You need to serve Him. You need to serve Him, as the brother said today, not just part-time, but we need to give Him our all. He's talking to a bunch of ministers, but brother, I'm telling you, even the saved people, lay members, you children that are you that have been saved by the grace of God, we need to give Him our utmost efforts, our utmost attention. We need to set aside, brother, if you have to get up a little early every day, get up 15 minutes early and read the Scriptures. Pray to the Lord. Meditate for a little while. And let me tell you, I believe wholeheartedly that if the church would do that, if our churches would spend time with God every day, my friend, and prayer and serving and desire and worship toward Him and lifted Him up, brother, let me tell you, we would see a difference on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
When we got ready to serve God, when we got ready to worship Him, we would see a difference. I believe that. I believe that. We'd see a difference. But let me tell you, something has changed since the time of my grandparents, the time that I remember when people, just about every service would shout the praises of God. I remember I lived in a rural area, and brother, if there was a drought going on, they would gather in the altar to pray that God would send rain. I'm talking about talking to God every day. I'm talking about talking to Him, spending time with Him every day. You know, I'd love to talk to my children. I enjoy talking to my wife and seeing her every day. But you know, if we went through the day, she went to her job, I went to my job, we got back, and we didn't talk, we didn't communicate, we wouldn't have much of a relationship, would we? You know, we see that sometimes in marriages and relationships, people neglect them, and my friend, and then they wonder why that it didn't work out. Our children, my children, I'd love to talk to them, each and every one of them, every day. You know, I told my other son, and he'll do good to call me once every 2 or 3 weeks. Most time I call him. And I told him, I said, I'm 48. And I said, I call my dad every day to talk to him. See how he's doing. Ask him what's been going on. See, and I enjoy that. I believe he likes it. I believe he enjoys that time talking to me. I enjoy it. And I tell you what, I enjoy talking to my children, talking to my kids, spending time with them. And I know God enjoys talking to His children. He enjoys spending time with us. You know, He's not some big God out there somewhere that doesn't know us, somewhere out there and mysterious somewhere. But brother, He's all present and He knows. And my friend, He knows our troubles and our problems. And He wants us to talk to Him and bring our troubles to Him. Bring our burdens to Him. He wants to spend time with us.
Amen.
And He would talk to us. You know, sometimes the reason we can't hear him is because we're too far away from him. I used to go out and play there at my house, and I'd get out with the kids, and we'd get off at their house, or we'd get off in a field somewhere. We'd be playing ball, you know, and the farther I got away from home, the harder it was for me to hear my mama when she'd come hollering, want me to come home for supper. You know, sometimes I'd get so far away I couldn't hear her at all. Sometimes I'd stay close by, you know, especially if I was hungry as I was wanting supper, I'd stay close by so I'd hear her voice. But you know, it's the same way with God. God's people drift out too far away from Him. We're not going to hear His voice, are we? It's not going to be as clear as it should be. But if we walk close to Him and stay close to Him, and brother, His voice will be crystal clear. We need to stay close to God. We need to listen. Dedicate our ears to hearing and our hands to doing and our feet to following Him. It's what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Oh, I'm telling you, you know, I know. I see this, you know, I see it in churches, you know, where the Spirit, you know, it just ain't as, He just don't manifest. You know, someone said today something about it, didn't thank God. I'm telling you, God is still everywhere. I believe that. There's nowhere you can go to get away from God. But I tell you what, where God's people are where they need to be, that's where He manifests Himself at. Amen. That's where you see His power, His presence. And that's what we need. Amen. Brother, we can have revivals again. Like you see in some of those old pictures where they're lying down the creek bank. So, you know, 30 to 40 to baptize. Getting saved, my brother. Popping up like popcorn. We can have the power of God with us. But brother, are we willing to do what it takes to have it? That's the question. Are we willing to do what it takes to have it? I tell you what, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. I've been in a few services that I've got so full of the Spirit and seemed like I was just walking on air. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck rising. Feel His presence. But they're fewer and far between. I tell you what, I love to be where the presence of the Lord is. I'd love to see a good old-fashioned revival where the power is there and sinners are, you know, they keep sitting in their seats because the power is among God's people and they've got to either make an altar where they're at, run out the door, or come to the mourner's bench and seek God till they find Him precious to their souls. God's still able. God's still able. We just need to get ourselves where... And listen, you might think, you know, it's not hopeless. It's just going to take a little work. Amen. It's going to take a little work on our part. You know, it's getting down to business with the Lord. Putting Him first. Amen. This is my message. I love you. Love each and every one. Pray for us at Liberty in Ohio. You know, we have the same problem up north as we do down south. You know, and I tell you what, I'm glad to be in the old church. I wouldn't be, as it was said today, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. If I thought that I wasn't where God where I wanted me to be and where He was, brother, I'd be hunting for somewhere to go. Amen. But I'm satisfied with what God has given us. Amen. I'm satisfied with that. Is God satisfied with us? This is what was on my heart. I appreciate the church giving me this opportunity to come this way. Remember us there at Liberty. Our revival comes up in June. And Brother Jason Stotler, he was there before I was. And he's going to be in and he's going to be helping in that revival. And pray for us there. That the Lord will be with us and we'll see people saved. Amen. That we'll see the church revived. Amen. And you know, people revived. It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate this opportunity. I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Taylor.